Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Pam Murchison, executive director of the Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble. Now, music itself has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
So what is there left to hear?
Well, lots of things. We focus on music by living composers. Mm-hmm. In our 39-year history, we've commissioned and premiered nearly 300 new works by whoever the emerging composers of the time. So my favorite example is Kevin Putz, who in 2012 won the Pulitzer Prize for music for his opera, Silent Night. We commissioned him in the early 2000s to write a piece that for us, Einstein on Mercer Street. So if you look back at the catalog, there's Ellen Zwillich and John Cage and Thomas Albert and all sorts of really household names in new music these days. And sort of at the start or earlier in their careers, we were partnering with them and asking them to write new music for us to play.
Good deal. Now let's talk about new music itself because, okay. I mean, to clarify, we're not talking about, you know, the next, you know, rap star on the radio. You know, this is contemporary. I mean, how do you define it, really?
Well, all the foundations and funders say since 1945. So it's a pretty broad category. Mm. And in that regard, not 1945. A lot has changed since then. So
oh, yeah.
That's not even really that current.
I can't do the splits anymore.
Yeah.
A lot's changed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but we focus again on music by younger living composers, people, you know, really at the forefront of what's going on in music today. So.
And contemporary music that I have heard, a lot of it, it's out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's some wacky stuff. It's so I guess it might be hard to define. It's mm-hmm. I mean, is new music still a very diverse category or genre?
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of people have the association of new music being, like you said, really chaotic and difficult to listen to. A lot of it is really beautiful and really accessible. And our artistic director Kevin programs a lot of that music too. So what's really nice about a Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble concert is that you don't really know what you're going to get. And it can go from something that feels really out of control and really chaotic to something that is just really utterly sublime and really, really beautiful and moving. So that's actually one of my favorite things about new music is it really is about the individual voice of the composer. And we're at a point now where people can write what they feel compelled to write, and there's not, you know, the Viennese school or it must sound like this or it must sound like that. It's really about the individual voice of the composer. And, you know, we play a lot of American music because is there anything more American than the individual voice, really? You know, I mean, just look at Facebook.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Now, you yourself are a musician,
I
yes?
am.
What do you play?
I'm a flutist.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Flautist.
Sure.
Is it, now, which is correct?
Well, it's really good that we're putting this on the record because my husband won't believe that I said that I literally have no opinion about that. I don't know what the difference is.
So you'll answer to either.
Sure, yeah.
Flautist.
I answer to a lot of things, yeah.
Okay. Now, do you feel that as a musician, your approach to classical is different to your approach to new music?
No, I think that, I mean, musicians are performers are recreating something, an artwork that somebody else wrote. So I think that our biggest commitment is to try and best interpret what the composer writes down on the page.
You are merely a vessel for the art of the composer.
Right. And, you know, what is sort of frustrating and really beautiful about music is that it's really most of the time only exists in the moment that it's being played. So in that regard, it's pretty low risk.
Well, that I learned is more or less the essence of John Cage. And that was an interview that we did earlier this year with Roger Zahab, the violinist.
I love Roger. Yes, he's a good friend of mine and ours.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, we talked all about John Cage, and Cage's philosophy was what you hear, the music in a sense, is the sound that happens.
Right.
But I suppose most of the work that Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble works with is a little more organized than that, or
it can be. But you know, it is all about the magic of live performance. You know, so you never really entirely know what's going to happen. And so something that it's interesting you should bring up John Cage, because something that I just sort of think to myself anytime I go on stage is that we can always just say it was arranged by John.
Yeah.
If things should go south, which they typically don't.
Blame it on the cage.
There you go. But yeah, you know, you never really know what's going to happen in the moment. And that's what I think makes live music so compelling. And, you know, why I'm so happy to be a performing musician myself, but then also part of this group that is really exploratory and really sort of, you know, pushes limits and puts things that may seem like they don't go together on the same program.
What brought you to the Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble?
Well, I have a long history with the team. David Stock, who's the founder, was a college professor of mine. I did my undergrad at Duquesne, and so he taught 20th century techniques in a really great way. It was supposed to be like a history theory class, but David knows everybody, so he told us great stories about mushroom picking with John Cage and, you know, all the different composers that he, you know, knew as a working, living composer along the way. It was very anecdotal, and I enjoyed it very, very much. So I remember, you know, when David was still at the helm and the performances were at the Katz Auditorium at the Jewish Community Center in Squirrel Hill, I remember going for recital credit. When I was at Duquesne, Kevin No, who's the artistic director, was there as the director of orchestras, and so I was able to play under him. He's just a hugely talented musician and artist and conductor, which is a sort of triple threat. And so I've known them, and I'm so my husband and I come every summer, and I'm friends with a lot of the people, and so it just seemed like a really good fit whenever the opportunity arose. And so I've been officially with the team since February, but certainly unofficially for many years.
Great.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing that I learned recently, and I think maybe the misconception that some might have about an organization called Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble is that you're new. But this organization has a very rich history here.
Oh, absolutely.
You're celebrating, what is it, 30, 40?
39th. This year is our 39th season, and so we're looking, 2015 is 40 years.
The big 4-0.
We're going to have to change our signature color from lime to ruby.
Well, yeah. And then do you need to change kind of your time frame of what you consider new music?
That has evolved.
Okay.
You know, we've done John Cage, we've done Messiaen, who, you know, are not I mean, those aren't pieces that have been written in the last couple of years. Mm. But, I mean, we do sometimes visit those sorts of things, but primarily we are always doing new music. We've got two really big world premieres this year that we're really happy about. We've got at least one planned for next year. And then we also, you know, as a composer, it is really challenging to get commissions and to get your pieces premiered. Mm-hmm. But what's even more challenging is getting your pieces performed a second, third, fourth time, right? And that's what really makes them part of the repertoire. And so we try and have a hand in that as well. So not only doing premieres, but really supporting the work of all emerging composers and being there to share the second, third, fourth, fifth performances of works.
And is it a residency that the organization has within the City Theater, or just this current season's going to be performed at City?
No, this is, I'm not sure exactly which year it is for us here, but City Theater has been our home for the past several years.
Great.
Ever since the Hazlett went under its transformation to become the new Hazlett, is at what point we made the move. So it's probably been 7 or 8 years.
And
I guess
here today in the City Theater, where the new music ensemble will be performing. A great space.
It's lovely.
For any live performance, but especially Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble, because the ensemble actually puts a lot of theatricality into the performances, with lighting and creating a mood around the pieces.
Yeah.
So you're not just really sitting and listening to music. You're having an experience, it did seem.
Absolutely. So the show, you know, starts as soon as you walk into the theater. Really, you know, with the tone and the atmosphere and, you know, Kevin's programming and staging, and coupled with, we have that famous Polish lighting designer, Andy Ostrowski.
He is famous.
He is
famous. That guy lights everything in town.
And he is one of the kindest, most generous people I've ever met. And so we are so fortunate to have those two great brains working together, along with Chris McGlumphy, who's our sound designer, to create something that is really immersive and, you know, we like to think of it as the theater of music. In that it's a whole experience, you know, the curtain opens and you're in it. Especially as we look at week four this summer, our show Drunken Moon is definitely something that...
Drunken Moon.
Yeah.
I was arrested once for that in Chattanooga.
Yeah, oh, haven't we all been? Yeah, although maybe not Chattanooga. It's... that Piero Lunaire, which is this famous piece by Schoenberg, which is the actual Piero plus percussion, is standard new music instrumentation these days, and so that's what we adopt. Our ensemble is that group of instruments. And a good friend of ours, Kieran McMillan, who's a composer and just, again, hugely talented, wrote a companion piece called Drunken Moon that is meant to be performed with the Schoenberg. And so that is the final concert this year. And that is a great example of, you're already in the show before it starts.
Neat.
So
for somebody that might be accustomed to classical music, that might be very comfortable at a symphony orchestra setting, how would you describe what they might be able to expect from a visit to Pittsburgh New Work or New Music Ensemble?
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, I really like the venue because it's intimate, right? I mean, seats 200 people, and that being able to be up close and personal with the art, I really appreciate. I love being in the space.
You know, that's a great point. And even when I myself go to the symphony,
I'm in a habit of only making great points.
me too. After a couple of these,
yeah.
But even when I go to the symphony, I will try to get the closest seats as possible. And it's not, you know, because I need to feel important or anything. It's just there's something to feeling
the
music.
Yeah.
To feeling those vibrations, to really, you know, being there and being a part of it. So in an intimate setting, that's got to be really great.
Yeah. I mean, the lighting and the look of the show is always really, really beautifully constructed. And I think the best thing about going into a new music ensemble concert of any sort, because of course we've got, you know, great new music happening in Pittsburgh outside of our season too.
Yes.
We're very fortunate in this town. There's really high arts index. Is that you never really know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really, really great. Another thing that I really love about new music is that you kind of can't avoid realizing that composers are people too. You know, a lot of times you go and hear Mozart or Beethoven, and they are on these pedestals, right? The ivory busts.
Yeah, literally on a pedestal,
There's a great book about Bach called Evening in the Palace of Reason, and it actually talks a lot about his upbringing and the time he spent in jail and, you know, how he got out of being part of, you know, a certain duchy's employ. And, you know, he was just a guy too. And I think people forget that a lot of times, like the music is funny, or sometimes it's naughty, or sometimes it's reflecting, you know, certainly in the case of Mahler, like these really profoundly sad things that happened to him, you know, but they were just they were disguised too, and I love that, you know, sort of the story behind it. And I think that's something that's easy to forget when you've got the distance of a couple of hundred years. Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, Marriage of Figaro, it's so clever and, you know, I mean, it is, it's a little naughty.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all those Mozart comic operas are.
I think this particular group, you guys like to have a good time, don't
you?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You're a fun, fun gang.
Yeah, and we love, after every concert, the ensemble comes out on stage. We love to meet with people.
Oh, good.
Five or six of the team members are actually going to be in town a week early before our official season starts. We're going to be engaging in lots of relationship building with our friends in the community, lunches, coffees. We like to go for drinks. You know, we're actually doing a top five favorite things about Pittsburgh campaign on social media, and all the team, like everybody's favorite things involve food. So we do our part to support the local economy.
Very good.
And so I think that's the thing, the immediacy. There's not a lot of, there's really no distance between the artists and the audience. We really want it to be a really engaging, immersive, personal experience. I mean, I'm a big fan of there's no wrong reaction. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, sometimes you listen to a piece of music. This happened, I went to hear Jack Quartet, Music on the Edge, mm-hmm. brought them in, and they played this really, really great piece by John Zorn. And there was one movement that was, it nearly physically made me ill. I mean, it was so uncomfortable. And then I realized that it's probably supposed to make you feel like that, you know, and they were short movements. So you just sort of sink into it for 30 seconds and then the next movement is completely different. And so
and then you go to the bathroom and have a movement yourself.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. No, it was a wonderful piece, you know, but this idea that everything should be beautiful or that we should all feel happy all the time. I mean, art is supposed to be challenging too.
Well, and you know what's funny? It seems like theater has made that transition.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
you'll go and see a play that challenges you, that can make you feel uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, nobody wants out of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf all, you know, happy, you know.
Exactly.
But somehow I think it's been a little tougher in the public eye for music.
Yeah.
You know, you go to hear a musical performance, I think the expectation is what would be aesthetically commonly beautiful.
You know? That's a really good point.
New music, I would venture to say, really challenges that more so than classical.
Well, and certainly people's perception of what new music is does. Mm. I think that's really, really fair. And, you know, I mean, music, people like the genre that they like. I teach an online class until this time last year. I was teaching at Frostburg State University in Western Maryland. And I taught a freshman level class called Music, Lyrics, and Life, and it's supposed to, it's an interdisciplinary course. So we look at music and we look at the lyrics of music as poetry, modern poetry, which I know poets would probably tend to disagree with, but for our purposes. And then we also look at psychology and sociology. And what's really interesting to me is that, you know, at the beginning of the class, I ask the kids, like, what's your favorite type of music? And, you know, half of them like country and half of them like rap. And then by the end, they're like, you know, I still may not like the other genre, but they actually have way more in common than I think. And I find that really to be interesting too. You know, like the more we think we're different, like actually the more we're the same. It's just the aesthetic that's different, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, is Joan Tower really saying things differently than Beethoven or Bach?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. It just sounds different. It's the shiny coat, you know?
Well, you know, I meant it to be funny at the opening of the interview when I said, you know, music's been around a long time. What haven't we heard yet? What could be new? But where do you see contemporary music and composers going, say, in the next 10, 20, 50 years? I mean, mm-hmm. have you seen things trending in new music, styles, usage of, you know, certain instruments or anything? Where do you see it developing?
Well, I think that especially with new music, there's a real natural affinity between new music and technology. I mean, this advent of electroacoustic music,
mm-hmm.
Also live processed music, which the flutist in the group, Lindsay Goodman, is particular interest and a particular advocate for electroacoustic music. So the development of software that processes sounds live, and it's really not that different than people using like looping pedals or things like that, just, you know, slightly different construction that people much smarter than me could give you particulars on. Like, but, you know, I think that sort of pairing between, you know, the human and the robotic, right? Mm. I think that is, there's a real affinity there in a way that's really natural. I mean, and that's the way we're going, right?
Well,
just
yeah.
as a, you know,
and
in
that
general.
Was a great point, I think, to make, is that it's very closely tied to technology. Because, mm-hmm. again, you know, here's me who's probably spent more time listening to classical than new, just assuming, well, they've got to do this with all the traditional instruments and things,
right,
the
yeah.
oboes, the bassoons, the tubas, the trombones. But new music would not be limited to that necessarily. It's,
no.
I think maybe the definition might be broader than I or others might even be thinking. You know, what constitutes music? It's
oh yeah,
sound, however you make that.
Right. Well, and John Adams, I mean, sort of famously thinks that as well. You know, that, I mean, you were mentioning John Cage, and I think a lot of people are familiar with 4 minutes, 33 seconds.
Which, and for anybody who isn't, is
yeah.
essentially a John Cage piece, which consists of technically silence, but any noise that you hear within that silence is then the piece.
Right, yeah, yeah. A pianist, and of course I can't remember who it is now, but walked out on the stage at Tanglewood in the, I'm guessing the 60s, you know, and sat down at the piano and then didn't play. And, you know, it's a piece we've done here a couple of different times, because sometimes, you know, after, actually Kevin's programmed it after the Messiaen Quartet for the End of Time, because after you listen to that, what else can you do besides sit in quiet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just music that there are no words to describe. And so I think, you know, that sort of juxtaposition, I think, is just really mm-hmm. smart and very thoughtful. And, you know, on the surface might seem like, well, but they're not playing music. But, I mean, what else would you put after a piece like Messiaen's? You know, so that way, yeah.
Music is everywhere.
Yeah.
And certainly here in Pittsburgh. And clearly there is a place for the mission of Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble. I mean, 40 years
yeah.
is quite an achievement.
Yeah.
What do you feel makes Pittsburgh a place where something like a New Music Ensemble can thrive?
Well, I'm a Pittsburgher. Go Stillers, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So I grew up here. I spent just about 1 year away after undergrad, and what I really admire about the city is it's really evolved. You know, there are articles all over the place that people are starting to realize that, you know, somewhere like Pittsburgh could be on par with Portland or Austin, you know, Boulder. I mean, we don't get as much sunshine, but, you know, it's, you know, from the 50s and the steel mills and, you know, people's perception of that to how it's evolved, you know, into the center for technical industries or the tech industry, and also, I mean, certainly the medical industry and the university towns. And I mean, just we have such a long tradition of philanthropy in general, but specifically with all the foundations supporting arts organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so many artists have been able to thrive and create, and we see that sort of spreading into neighborhoods that are in transition and you know, new places like Braddock where people want to move now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I remember, you know, not that long ago driving through there and thinking, well, I should have gone another way, and now it's this neighborhood that is really rejuvenated.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sort of evolution and the constantly changing and constantly striving to make it better, I think it's something that is really in keeping with any artistic drive, right? I mean, just always creating, always trying, always editing, always refining. So yeah, and I, you know, I play in other cities, and I have come to realize really exactly how fortunate we are here. So we've got so much support from the community. I mean, all arts groups, from the community and from the foundations and things like that. It's a great place to play.
What would the Song of Pittsburgh sound like?
Oh, I don't know. If you want the new music version, I probably wouldn't be able to sing it for you.
Well, we could try. Let's see. What aspects would it have?
Oh.
It would need to be gritty,
yeah.
but pretty.
Yeah.
In fact, I could put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, gritty and pretty.
There you go.
So how do we achieve that? You know, I almost see like, you know, when the chanting monks were popular and kind of how they had that little discordant. I think it needs to start with that.
A little dissonance.
And we need some metallic clanking things.
And then the rivers, of course.
Yeah, a lot of shh, shh. What's that thing that goes the shh? What is that instrument?
Oh, well, we can. In Kinder music, we do it with our
hands. We're really going basic here.
No, I teach Kinder music, too. Yeah.
All right. So
well,
we're
but
doing...
this is all... We're inventing. We're being resourceful.
We are doing this right now. Okay, here's the song of Pittsburgh. It starts with the rivers. And then...
Well, in here, we should, like, clink on our...
Oh, yeah. Wait, yeah, this is the song of Berg Vivant right there.
There you go. There's the clinking.
That's what we usually say. What sound does Brian Edward make? Clink! Wake up at the crack of ice every morning. Yeah. But no, we had a little new music happening right there. That was great.
Well, yeah. But what a approve.
What a great lesson. It can happen anywhere, anytime, any place. But this year it is happening at City Theater with New Music Ensemble. You guys have a lot going on. What are some of the gems and the standouts? I know we hit on a couple of them in our conversation. But,
oh, sure.
Coming up currently, what's the next big thing?
Well, again, Drunken Moon Week 4, which is August 1st and 2nd. Ted Hearn, who is a super hot New York composer, we're premiering his work, Cage Variations, Week 2, which is August 18th and 19th. We're doing some works by some of our favorite composers, Kevin Putz, Martin Bresnik, Zanakis, looking forward to those things. And then week 3, I'm not a linear kind of girl, so pardon me for not going in order with the dates.
That's all
week
right.
3, July 25th and 26th, we're premiering a work for guitar and the ensemble by Ryan Anthony Francis, who is another hot New York composer. And we have a special Wednesday showcase series featuring our violinist Natalie Shaw on July 23rd, and that show starts at 7:30. And she's doing some works by our favorite Pittsburgh composers like David Stock and Roger Zahab, who you mentioned
wonderful.
Earlier.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's what I was going to ask, too.
Yeah.
You know, do you do feature local composers, too?
We're doing a wonderful piece by a good friend of ours, Amy Williams, week 3 as well, which will feature our flutist, Lindsay Goodman. It's called First Lines, and it's a really remarkable work of 11 miniature movements that are all based on the first lines of different poems. And one of the poets...
Didn't they do this with Cats? This was the musical. Didn't they take that poem? That's the musical Cats,
oh, well,
right?
I guess.
Not to suggest that, you know, we're borrowing anything, you know.
No,
that was
well,
just the first reference that popped up in my head.
If that association gets people excited to come to the concert,
it doesn't
then
get me excited.
Okay.
But I think I'm more excited about what you guys are doing. Then.
Yeah, but
Well, that was once new music. Consider that.
You know, that is true. And I did have to get, you know, I had to go several times with the lint roller because we have cats at home. So
oh, those kind of cats.
It all connects. But no, Amy, actually sort of and serendipitously... that was bold for recorded, don't you think?
What,
the word serendipitously, did I say
oh,
that?
Well, especially after those four martinis
right.
that you had before we sat down. I think you're doing great.
Yes. My mother would be proud. One of the poets that Amy used in the work is Toy Derricott, who teaches at University of Pittsburgh, and Amy teaches there as well with Roger and our friends Matthew Rosenblum, who we've played his work several times
so
before,
many friends.
And Eric Moe. Well, we're a gregarious bunch, and I'm a flute player, so it comes on your membership card.
Friends. Like, I want to hang out with you guys, but I don't play an instrument. Listen, I played trombone in high school, and I was terrible.
Yeah.
I think I told this story on Berg Vivant before. Maybe it was to Roger. I couldn't read music, but somehow I stayed in this band with middle school through high school, you know, but trombone, you kind of just slide it around and figure it out, you know, so I guess I flew under the radar. But I don't know if you have a position where somebody can just, you know, I don't know, be like the party planner or something.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
I want to hang out with you guys. I do.
Oh, no, we encourage that. You can often find us at Hofbräu or we're looking forward to Urban Tap, which is right around the corner now. Yeah, hear good things. So yeah, we're a social bunch. We really find so much support from the community and from our friends
That's
who
great.
Come to the concerts. That I mean, a very, very close second to how much people love the food in Pittsburgh.
They love
actually,
the music.
First thing is, is the team really appreciates the support from our fans, and they really are family to us.
Pittsburgh people are good people.
They are. If you can get them to cross a river and figure out where they're going to park.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know what? For you guys, it's worth it. For Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble at City Theater, everybody come take a listen. You know, and if it's something that, you know, a genre that you haven't listened to, come and have an opinion about it. Have
Absolutely.
A thought about it.
I've never come to a PNME concert that I have felt lukewarm leaving. And I think that is such a good thing. I mean, that is the most positive comment. Because, of course, you're not going to love everything. But to, you know, I mean, a lot of the movies that I see, I just feel kind of like, meh. Right. Mm-hmm. And I've never felt like that at a PNME concert. So, yeah, don your lime green and come out and see us.
Yes, and lime green is your signature color.
Absolutely.
Yes, you've got it on today.
I do, see a little one. Indeed.
I wish I didn't know. Oh, wait, we've got the olives.
Oh, there you go.
Olive green.
Always prepared.
Can we, I know.
Well, through the glass, they're lime.
Okay.
So we're good. You got special PNME olives.
Yeah. Very, very good. They're musical.
Yeah.
Ding,
yeah.
Dong, ding, dong. Music everywhere. Excellent. Pam, thank you so much.
Oh, sure.
It was great talking to you. Cheers.
Yes.
To new music.
Indeed.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Berg-Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Berg-Vivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.